bringing you the truth behind the news. Welcome to The New American.
Welcome, everyone. We're glad you decided to join us. So, have you had enough of paying through the nose to gas up your car? Well, guess what? The Biden administration doesn't care. My colleagues, Dennis Barrett, who is the publisher of The New American Magazine, is here to tell us about the Biden administration's latest attack on reliable energy. And senior editor Rebecca Terrell is going to tell us about the sham that is green energy. Welcome, guys.
Hi, Paul.
Or I should say, lady and gentlemen.
Glad to be here, Paul.
So, Dennis, tell us about the latest attack. There was something that happened within the last few days where the Biden administration took another shot at production of oil and gas, huh?
Well, this was last week on Friday. Friday is the day you release things to the news cycle that you don't want people to pick up on too much. And so this kind of skated under the radar, but the Bureau of Land Management, as part of the Biden administration.
The original BLM.
The original BLM, yep. They announced that an additional 2.8 million acres in Alaska would be put permanently off limits to future leasing for drilling and exploration of oil and natural gas resources. And this is in the Arctic Reserve, which was expressly established as a petroleum reserve in 1923.
So, wow, yeah.
For the Navy, as it were, in that case. But now this is going to be completely taken off the table. This comes just about 1 year exactly to the date almost of the Biden administration taking another 13 million acres off the table for the same thing last year. So now we're up to almost 16 million acres that can no longer be utilized for future oil and gas exploration in Alaska. And we're talking about, billions of barrels of oil that could be recovered here and trillions of cubic feet of natural gas. So really, not today debilitating for our energy production because it takes time to develop those resources.
Yeah.
But since no companies will be doing that, you can't do that any longer. There's no point in investing in it. You've now taken this stuff off the table now for, at least a decade, if not more, even if the administrations change. What company would invest a capital campaign into that level of investment when the federal government is saying, you're just not a reliable partner? That's never going to happen. So
I understand that Alaskans, whether it be legislators and even native groups, they're not very happy with this. I do have a couple quotes from Alaska U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan, and then we can maybe comment on that. He said, Joe Biden is fine with our adversaries producing energy and dominating the world's critical minerals while shutting down our own in America, as long as the far left radicals he feels are key to his reelection are satisfied. What a dangerous world this president has created. Now, he's talking about these adversaries. Russia is still producing lots and lots. It's gas and oil, right?
Gas and oil. And in fact, Russia a couple of years ago announced a $300 billion from their point of view, government investment in expanding Arctic gas and oil exploration on the Russian side of things. Rosneft is building a gigantic new Arctic port for transport of oil and gas from Siberia, from the Arctic areas. So while we're pulling back from our own development of this resource directly, the country that we identify that the Biden administration specifically is utilizing billions of our tax dollars to encounter in Ukraine, they're exploiting their resources to the best degree that they can.
Yeah.
Putting themselves, and everyone knows it already, they're flush with cash from their natural resource base that they have in Russia right now. They're exploiting it quite well. They're making a lot of money on it. Much of that fuel is reaching Europe from their Arctic resources. Meanwhile, we're pulling back, and that's going to hurt us in the pocketbook as Americans.
Right.
That's going to hurt our country from a national security point of view. It's going to hurt our standing in the world. It's going to hurt our ability to innovate in the future. One thing people don't realize: you think you're just putting your hydrocarbons in your tank every day to power your car, but that's only one use for which these hydrocarbons are used. Mm-hmm. They're a feedstock for almost every product that you utilize in your daily life. So everything is going to get more expensive and scarcer because we won't have access to these resources.
Well, and on top of all that, it was earlier in the month, he canceled refilling the emergency oil reserves. And the ironic part is, as we've all read, it's because oil is too expensive. Well, and so now he curbs production even more. So they're perpetuating this, aren't they?
You almost wonder if one of two things has to apply. They're either that incompetent or they're directly antagonistic to the success of this country.
You know they're not that incompetent.
You know, I have to say it to be clear, you know, to be
right,
put all the
right.
options
Come on
the table.
We, yeah. We know what's happening here. This is a, I would almost call this, and other legislators have said as well, this is, this creates insecurity, right? Like national insecurity. And even the native groups, let's talk about that a little bit, because even the native groups up there who supposedly they thought they were doing a favor, even they're not on board with this because it affects their communities.
Well, they lose out on the economic boost that this brings them in terms of employment. They lose out on the development of resources for healthcare, access to services and goods. They lose out on all of that as a result of this. Josiah Patkotak, I quote him in an article that we published yesterday at thenewamerican.com. Mm-hmm. He's the mayor of the North Slope Borough, and I believe he's a native Alaskan. And he just said it's insulting.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunately true. He said it's representative of the federal government's treatment of our indigenous voices for decades, that they don't care about their opinions, despite the fact that these are the people who've been there, as he said, for 10,000 years, the stewards of this land. The mm-hmm. federal government doesn't care at all about that. The Biden administration doesn't care at all about that. The well-being of these people is not their concern.
No. The well-being of Americans in general is not. Let's go to Rebecca. Rebecca, Earth Day was yesterday, and I understand that this is one of your favorite days to celebrate.
That's right. Oh, yes. Who doesn't just love to dress in green? Oh, wait, that's St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick already had the corner on
yeah.
green. Yeah, but of course, the Biden administration was celebrating it in a little bit of a different way, wasn't it?
Yeah. Let's talk about what kind of energy they do prefer. Let's see how awesome that energy is and how reliable that energy is.
Yeah, it's $7 billion for rooftop solar. And rooftop solar is one of the biggest scams. Well, I don't know. I mean, how can you decide what's the biggest scam? It's everything that y'all have been talking about.
There's so much competition.
There is so much competition, and people say that COVID was the biggest scam. Well, I don't know. You're not a very good student of history if you think that that's true. But anyway, so our topic right now, though, is the $7 billion that Biden announced for rooftop solar. So what happens is you get solar panels put on the top of your mm-hmm. roof, and now you are told that your electric bills are going to go down to about $25 or $30 a month. This is absolutely untrue.
I've heard this pitch. There's organizations or companies here in Wisconsin. We've even talked to those people and things like that. So I've heard this pitch. I'm sorry to cut you off. Go on, Rebecca.
No, you're exactly right. No, it is a lie. It is a scam. Now you can buy them for your roof at thousands of dollars. It's not going to pay off, I promise you. You can lease them. Mm-hmm. Again, not going to pay off. This particular outreach that Biden has is supposedly going to place solar panels on lower income, poverty stricken areas on their roofs, and there it's going to drastically lower their energy bills. That's absolutely not true, because what's happening is the solar panels on top of your roof, if you happen to be producing at any given time during the day more energy, your local electric company has to buy it back from
yeah.
you at an exponentially higher rate than they can provide it at scale to all of the community. Okay, so for that short amount of time while the sun happens to be shining directly, mm-hmm. and I mean directly, not at an angle, directly on your solar panels, you can sell them back. You can sell that electricity back to the company. It raises everyone's electric rates because the company has to provide that base load. And then when the sun's gone, which means most of the day, because again, it has to be at that perfect angle on
yeah.
those very flat static solar cells, then now the electric company has to raise its rates because it's had to buy energy from you mm. at a much higher rate because you're not producing at scale.
Wow.
That's the scam.
Well, and another thing is, and tell me how this fits in, because when we were kind of tempted by that as well, and we still may be, but it sounds like you're talking me out of it. But when we looked at it, one of the things was you couldn't actually store it at your home. And Dennis, it sounds like everyone's nodding, because I think we've all kind of looked like, especially those of us who want to have a little cabin in the woods or may have a cabin in the woods. I don't know if there's anyone here who may yet. I don't want to give them away. But that would be nice. But it's very expensive. And apparently Tesla may be coming up with a battery where you can actually store that energy. But what's the point if you can't even store the energy that you're producing, right?
The size of a football field. I mean, do you want to run your air conditioning? Do you want to run your heater? Do you want to run your dryer? Because, I mean, anybody who has solar panel applications, like, for instance, on a farm to open maybe farm gates, or you might have a solar panel that operates your garage door. I'm sure that you've got battery backup on it, number one. And number two, you have battery backup to the battery backup in the winter because the sun doesn't shine as much. So use solar in a small scale like that to understand solar. There are applications for it. I promise you, solar did not build our industrial economy. It cannot maintain our industrial economy.
Well, and it's susceptible to, for instance, hail damage, right? We have some photos here of hail damage of these solar farms,
and Texas, we still have recently.
Yes, recently. That's on the house, but there's these massive solar landscapes, and the hail damage destroyed them as well. And so it's like, you know, that's not a problem with electricity. It's not a power
but that's right. But that's not the only thing about those. The solar panels have chemicals inside of them, and now that they're damaged, those chemicals are leaching into the groundwater, and the people in those areas are up in arms because their groundwater for their livestock, for their crops, for themselves is being tainted by these chemicals. In those, and we, you know, another thing we have to consider too, the average lifespan of a solar panel is going to be, if you're lucky, 25 years. Now you go on Google, and they'll say, "Oh, they can last for 50 years." That's in theory, not in practice. And then you enter hail, and well, that 2-year-old solar panel is gone, and they're expensive. They're expensive to make. They take a lot of materials, a lot of resources, and it's just a huge scam.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's like between $30,000 and $40,000 for like a regular, to put them on a house, right? On a regular house. I mean, that's the consultation we have, and we have it have to be on the south facing side, and so you're already limited. And then you see some neighborhoods or homes, and you see that they have them in their yard facing the right direction. So they're not very, very reliable. And again, let's bring you both in here. How do you think the campaign, the Biden administration, the deep state's campaign to convince people that this is a good idea is going, or are people realizing this isn't working? I mean, for instance, last winter, Rebecca, you and I have talked about this, or this past winter, we had cars, you know, on the side of the road. I think it was in Chicago, and I'm sure in other areas, and people started realizing it's like, batteries don't work when it's really cold. Those of us who live in the north, we know that. You know, those of us who've had block heaters and whatnot, we understand that.
Maybe
those
some experience.
Folks, yeah, those folks in the south. But has it tapped out, Rebecca? Has the EV and the solar panel, has that tapped out? We have, for instance, journalists. I feel like I'm all over the place, but forgive me. We have journalists like Schellenberger. I forget what's his name. Is it
Michael?
Michael Schellenberger. And he was, you know, he was a lefty. I think he even ran for governor at some point in California and whatnot. And he came to realize that it just doesn't work. He brought the truth out about wind turbines, I think solar and whatnot. What do you guys think? I'll go to you first, Rebecca. What do you guys think are, as far as public opinion, knowing the truth about it and what it's going to take to continue for people to wake up? Is it going to be $5 a gallon gas? Is it going to be electric bills tripling, which I think we're on our way there? Go ahead, Rebecca.
Right. I do believe that we all need to wake up to the fact that we do not have some type of altruistic government officials. These are people who do know exactly what they're doing. The point is to bring down our country. This is existential. People who do not have access to reliable, affordable electricity end up what we used to call the third world. And you can go to many, many places across the globe to see exactly what the results of that are. It's poverty, extreme poverty. It's, you know, it's 19th century conditions as far as hygiene. And they really, really do want to bring us back to that.
Yeah.
And the point is depopulation. And they say, we don't have to speculate on this. They even say it. Jacques Cousteau himself said in order to save the earth, we've got to get rid of 350,000 people per day. He told that to a UNESCO journalist or a United Nations journalist back in the 90s. Eliminate 350,000 people per day in order to save the earth.
What? Well, we have someone here who may have written a book with a chapter on depopulation. Oh, that's you, Dennis. Dennis, does that ring true, what Rebecca said about this being all about depopulation?
Yes.
It's not about saving Mother Earth?
Not at all. particularly here in this country, especially in the UK. It really got started there in the 19th century. But our elites, if you will, the Rockefellers and many others following along their their threads, they've long been enamored for more than a century of really reducing the Earth's population, including here in this country. They've been very enamored of eugenics programs to improve the people that they would allow to continue living here.
Yeah.
And it's become policy of the U.S. government. Back during the Nixon-Kissinger era, the U.S. government had a policy memorandum written by Kissinger, known as the Kissinger Memorandum, calling for the depopulation of, at that point, what they considered third world countries. But that doesn't make it any better. That just makes it even worse that they're looking to eliminate, people who would be more easily victimized by them. This is a long-term depopulation program that our government has been following along with from our wealthiest elites that they've been looking forward for this for over a century. And I think, you know, with regard to energy, maybe there's some dawning awakening. You brought this up a little bit. If you look at some stock prices, there's some interesting things going on.
Well, for instance, please tell us.
Tesla stock has been dropping like a rock over the recent few months here.
I've seen
and
that.
If you followed that Tesla stock over the last few years, you know that was a superstar. For the last few years, that was rising continuously. A lot of people made a lot of money on it. Elon Musk obviously made a lot of money on it, being a key stockholder there. It's really changed. Some of our other big automobile companies that bet heavily on electric vehicles, they've also been pulling back. Ford's been pulling back, and Ford put a lot of money into
GM
it.
GM, too.
So this is the market speaking. So by what we say when we say the market speaking, that's people in the market saying, you know what, this isn't working for me.
Yeah. Well, how does this depopulation agenda work if it's obviously it's led by the West, the Western conspiratorial powers, as you call it, the international oligarchy class, oligarchic class. But you have the most populous countries are India and China. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yep.
And are they buying into any of this? So if depopulation is the goal, and if they're not buying into it, then what's the point?
Well, China bought into it historically. You know,
the
one-child policy, right? I'm not so sure that India has ever really bought into it. One of the things that's really disturbing in the research I did for Endgame was one of the chief scientists in the 1960s and 70s in Australia called for using covert means to depopulate Southeast Asia, called for the Australian government to get behind some of those covert means. It's really scurrilous, really horrible crimes against humanity that these people talk about. And they talk about them as if, you know, they should be congratulated for their humanity and doing the best they can for the planet. But they're talking about preventing and ending the lives of innocent human people. It's really despicable.
Yes, I'd say that's certainly despicable. Is the depopulation agenda, is that what's responsible for the vaccine campaign in, for instance, Africa as well?
Certainly seems like it. And we should realize we're not talking about something purely historic here.
Mm-hmm.
The United Nations is currently working very hard to bring about what it's calling Agenda 2030.
Mm-hmm.
The Biden administration is 100% on board with this. The U.S. government's been on board with it from the beginning. And one of the policies there, the key part of the policies there for Agenda 2030 are so-called sustainable development goals.
Yes.
Sustainable development means restricting access to resources. And when you restrict access to resources, you just boil that down to the most fundamental meaning that that has. That's restricting the access to resources needed for life.
Mm.
So at its base, this is a population control program.
Wow.
Well, what I wanted to say, you mentioned India and China, and you have to acknowledge those are not Christian nations, and I think that the goal is the Christian nations, which of course we call it the West now, but it really should justifiably be called Christendom, and that is the goal. That's the target of the depopulationists. Look at all of the different agenda items and what the target is. We have. The COVID jab has targeted largely young men, right, with myocardia. These are the people who would be the fathers of the upcoming generation, right?
Mm-hmm.
The opioid epidemic, the opioid crisis, what is that targeted? The young generation, the generation that would be the parents of the upcoming generation. You know, every single one of the trans agenda that is targeting who the generation that would be the parents of the coming generation and the target in all of these things and in the world wars, which demographic did those decimate? It was the
Western
generation
civilization,
going
though.
To be the parents of the upcoming generation. You see how that target is always that one particular demographic in all of this. And we know that the world wars were orchestrated. We know that the Korean War, the Vietnam War, I mean, name them all off, name all of these things in this vast, you know, none dare call it conspiracy, but it is a conspiracy. And we need to stop being afraid of that word and realize If we're not honest about it, we are risking our very future, our children, and the children who would be the parents of the next generation.
Dennis, do you agree with that, that the target here is especially Western civilization? This is something we've mentioned before.
Oh, absolutely it is, especially here in the U.S. Not so much even Europe, but especially the U.S., which is always considered the real enemy because of our standard of living, at least the idea that we have too high a standard of living and that Americans use far too many resources and therefore Americans need to have something done to them to reduce their standard of living. Well, obviously, one of the things you can do is to reduce the people who are thought to be the culprits here, which is typically the American middle class. The American middle class almost uniformly is Christian. The American middle class almost uniformly is, the largest, wealthiest, most productive class, and therefore the in the left wing ideology, therefore the most guilty of doing this to the planet and to others. So eliminating the American middle class is job number one. And we talked about energy to start this segment. We talked about cutting off the access to the resources of Alaska. That dramatically hits the middle class hardest. It hits the lower classes as well, but it really puts a lot of people out of work. It really puts families out of the ability to afford even food and clothing, clothing being derived in most parts from petrochemicals. So, it's a direct attack on the American middle class.
Would you guys agree that the immigration, the migration flow, the attack through migration to this is part of all of this? We've gone from solar panels, from oil and gas to depopulation to solar panels and now migration. I feel like it all works together because you're by bringing in all these folks into Western Europe, especially even Eastern Europe and of course America, you're diluting the American middle class. And I feel like this is an attack on those values as well because that's kind of the cradle of self-governance, right? I mean, no other populations besides Western Europe and obviously America holds on to these crazy values that are about self-governance, and they obviously are trying to attack that as well. I'll go to you first, Rebecca, and then I'll get Dennis's thoughts on that.
Yeah, absolutely, because you see the people that are crossing the border are waving their own flags from their own countries that they're supposedly coming to America to have freedom. Well, no, they're not. They're bringing their own cultures, and these are not Christian cultures. They are not cultures of Christendom. They are not cultures of what we call the West. No matter where they come from. The word West means Christendom. Mm-hmm. And that's the target.
Yeah.
They bring with them very few resources. And I think you've seen in news coverage at the New American and pretty much everywhere else, how, especially in the alternative media, how many of the people who are coming across the border, they're given free transportation throughout the country. Many of them are given access to spending capabilities through the largesse of government, transferring that money from taxpayers. So they're not an independent class of people who are being brought in.
They're a
dependent class, and the United States government is predicated, as our founding fathers said, on the importance of a self-reliant and independent people, and that's going to be less and less true as this takes place with the mass migration that we have. So we're targeting the middle class, the most independent-minded people that this country was built on. We're targeting them for elimination. We're making life harder and harder and harder for them in every way that you can think of. Meanwhile, the new people who are coming across the border illegally, they cannot be independent. They cannot be independent of government largesse. Therefore, they are going to be, generally speaking, reliant upon someone to give them support, and they are going to vote for their support.
Yeah.
So this is going to create an entire,
feedback loop,
a subject class.
Yeah.
And
that's what they want.
That's exactly what they want. It's a terrifying nightmare scenario that ends up harming everyone in the picture except for the few elites manipulating it.
Well said. I don't think we can end this segment any better. Thank you, Dennis. Thank you, Rebecca. And we're going to be right back and we're going to talk about the information battle.
In 1988, the John Birch Society produced a documentary so predictive, it's as though they had a time machine. Out of Control, Immigration Invasion, was produced and hosted by investigative reporter William F. Jasper and looks at the growing problem of unrestricted illegal immigration that, in 1988, already saw upwards of 10 to 20 million illegal aliens within the borders of the U.S. Unknown agents from around the world using the southern border as easy entry. Certainly, some are innocent families escaping hardship, but also certainly some are criminals, potentially terrorists. Is it not appropriate that there be some criteria for the entry of any sovereign nation? Why should the U.S. be different than Canada, Germany, Russia, Japan, or every other country on the planet? Out of Control, Immigration Invasion. Watch this time capsule of prescient wisdom at thenewamerican.com/out of control.
Two of the biggest, the two biggest Timcast IRL shows on YouTube were deleted, both today, 3 years after they aired for with retroactive policy enforcement that they claim were always in effect, but only now they decided to remove. There's no policy violations. We talked about things everybody always talks about. We're very, very strict on this show. You guys know we've deleted episodes live during the show, and we've been working on engineering a dump button, which basically means if there's ever a policy violation, we hit a button and then there's a delay so that whatever violated the rules never appears and we don't have to take the show down anymore. So we built all this. As soon as this happened, I'm on the phone with Google and they're saying, we can't tell you what the policy violation was. And I'm like, how are we supposed to do better and fit your terms of service if we have no idea what you're mad about? And they're like, too bad. I said, okay. So I had all of these people messaging and commenting, being like, oh, you're babies. You took the episode down, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I called Michael Malice and Alex Jones, said, guys, can you come back immediately and do the show again? They want to take down our episode and they won't tell us why. We'll do the show again. And so a week later, Alex and Michael came back, and that was at the time our biggest episode ever, the Try Me YouTube episode. I can only assume they were not happy we did that, but I got to tell you, before we even had Alex Jones on, I emailed our liaison at Google and said, what are the rules pertaining to Alex Jones? Is he allowed to be a guest on shows? And they said, absolutely. And I said, okay, you guys have no issue with this then? I said, no, he just can't have his own channel. I said, done. They deleted the episode. They found whatever reason.
All right, Dennis. So I'm actually a little surprised that Tim Pool is such a conformist, because he's like, we're trying to find out about the rules and whatnot. It's like, we didn't even get that option. No. I should mention that The New American was kicked off of YouTube, what is it, 6-8 months ago,
yeah,
something like
while,
that,
yeah.
Last year.
So welcome to the club, Tim.
Yeah, welcome to the club. And they also did it retroactively as well.
They did it,
the last strike was an episode 8-10 months old, if not more than a year old. And I think it was actually about the deep state. It was one of Alex Newman's or whatnot. And so I guess you seem to be a little more surprised and possibly outrage, and correct me if I'm wrong, about this happening, because when you brought this up, I was kind of like, I didn't know that we were still outraged and surprised that YouTube is doing this, and I didn't know anyone was still trying to work with YouTube.
Yeah, I'm not really outraged and surprised that YouTube is doing this. It doesn't surprise me in the least. I'm more outraged that this is taking place within our country, these direct attacks on the First Amendment. And let me be clear here. I don't think this is because YouTube hates the First Amendment, but I think because YouTube and Google are tied at the hip with the deep state, and the deep state cannot tolerate any kind of open discussion of what they're doing, and so they want to shut that down. We're really talking about pure Orwellian behavior here. And, you know, The way in which a free society keeps itself free includes many different strategies and tactics. But a core one is the ability to openly debate the policies that a government is engaging in.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are a republic, like we are supposed to be, it requires the citizens to be aware of what's being done under the law, and if that law is being subverted, that so that they can, through their representatives, take action as, you know, accountable citizens of the republic, as good citizens of the republic, to, you know, put things right. You can't do that if you don't have access to information. That undermines the foundations of the republic entirely, which I think is the point.
Yeah,
that is what we're seeing here. So the retroactive removal of content by YouTube at the behest of the deep state, the open censorship of certain topics you must not talk about at the behest of the deep state. My hypothesis is that The things you're not allowed to talk about and the things they're taking down.
Are the things that are true?
They're the things that are true. And they can't tolerate discussion of those things because they can't tolerate being unmasked. Because once they're unmasked, citizens are going to require that their representatives do something about it.
Right.
And that's just intolerable to the deep state.
I believe that too. I think it's clear. And the way I'm going to prove it is I went on the YouTube and I found lots of videos with flat earthers, right? There, I don't know how legitimate this is. I think for in the grand scheme, it's a psyop. But here we're showing, this is one of the many videos where these guys invited a genuine flat earther. Still there, you can find other videos. Yet, I guess they would say, they would defend YouTube and would defend these decisions by saying that we're battling disinformation, misinformation, and whatnot. And Alex Jones is obviously one of the head leaders in that. But it's like, if that's what you're doing, and you're battling, you know, whoever is contradicting the science, because they hate, you know, they own the science, of course, then why would you not remove the flat earthers? You know,
right?
It's clear. I'm like you. Clearly, Alex Jones has hit. They really hate Alex Jones.
They do.
He's always been. I don't know if you saw that video not too long ago. It was a couple of weeks ago, and it seems authentic. That CIA contractor who's talking about how they went after Alex Jones.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, "We're happy now. We took his money, whatever." And so they really hate Alex Jones.
Yeah, that was. Am I right? I think that was an O'Keefe Media. Discovery.
No, I think it was something else, but it was in the style of James O'Keefe.
Yep.
Yeah,
okay.
it was kind of like guerrilla journalism. I guess the guy was on a pretend date with this other guy who was a CIA contractor, and he sits there and he gloats about how they came after Alex Jones.
Yeah, and so that is not supposed to happen to an American citizen,
right?
The CIA is not supposed to be operating within this country against American citizens. That's a long-standing rule going all the way back to the early days. So that's pretty chilling. Mm-hmm. Like they could turn that on anyone, and I think that was one of the points that they made.
Yeah,
they could make anybody become subject to this victimization, and I think we've actually seen federal agencies, federal law enforcement, kind of doing some things that skirt that line of entrapment.
Shall we say?
Mm. and that's very troubling, and it's very chilling of you know freedom of expression here in this country. You know, you saw Christopher Wray being called on the carpet in Congress over the way in which the FBI was targeting Catholics. They weren't targeting Catholics, but everyone knows they were. They were infiltrating churches.
Well, in a way, he admitted they were because he said, that product was not approved, I guess, by the higher-ups. So,
what country do we live in? When did this start that we have federal agencies investigating our churches?
Mm-hmm.
This is inconceivable.
This is the stuff. I was born in Romania. I lived the first 8 years of my life there. And as Protestants, this is the stuff that the Soviet-style communists did to especially Protestants. They had diluted the Orthodox Church pretty successfully. They were good at that. But they would put informants in the Protestant churches, and they would kidnap them off the streets if they said something that you know they didn't like, they didn't approve. This is in that style.
Yeah, I once upon a time interviewed a Baptist minister from Moscow, of all places. And he was publishing unapproved Baptist print materials in Moscow, again, of all places, mm-hmm. in the late 1950s.
Yeah.
Guess what happened to him?
He disappeared?
Yeah, he disappeared for a number of decades into the Gulag system,
only
released under Yeltsin as an elderly man at that point. And so he spent most of his life being transferred from Gulag to Gulag throughout Siberia because he had the temerity to be a Baptist.
Yeah.
Is that what we want for this country? I mean, think of it. If you are, if you're a religious person, if you're a Christian of any denomination, do you want to be at risk just because you went to service on Sunday? Because that seems to be where the Biden administration is driving things, where the deep state is driving things.
Yeah.
Is that acceptable here in America? I mean, what does the First Amendment have to say about freedom of religion? Are we about to throw the Bill of Rights out the door? Because it certainly seems that our government really doesn't like the Bill of Rights.
No, and let's mention this before we finish this segment. John Eastman, who was an attorney for Donald Trump, he was debanked. He came to the Daily Caller, and I think he just told the Daily Caller a couple of weeks ago or whatnot that he was debanked. He was debanked by Bank of America. And then, get this, of USAA. Now, someone brought up the interesting point that Bank of America has been bailed out by taxpayers, and they didn't really give them a reason for it, but we kind of know why. So it seems like this is part of this effort of the feds, of the deep state, to banish unapproved people from societal participation. That's what how all this lumps in, right?
Yeah, you're getting into the social credit score business. We're very close to that being implemented here in this country. I don't think people realize, but you should get very worried about it if you're an American. So if you go to the grocery store, do you use a savings card? Yep, probably.
Yeah.
If you go to Bass Pro Shops, do you use the Bass Pro Shops credit card? Well, maybe.
Or Shields.
Or Shields. Yeah, I mean, and so I think the Biden administration was at Cabela's and Bass Pro Shops already over J6. They were like looking at transactions because that's suspicious because, you know, maybe outdoorsmen can't be trusted.
Outdoorsmen are a threat to their power.
These things very quickly can be tied together into a single social credit score.
Mm-hmm.
And once they're tied together into a single social credit score and you have federal authorities digging into that database, now you can share that across the board with banks, with Know Your Customer regulations that have been in place now for a couple of decades. And it becomes a pretty easy thing, a very easy thing for the threshold to be crossed where unapproved thought can be divined from your actions as you know, caught in your transaction history. And suddenly, well, maybe you can't have that loan. Maybe you can't be part of that bank. So don't think that this is just John Eastman because he's, you know, a lawyer who participated with Donald Trump. This is a warning shot across the bow for every American. Your freedom to do what you wish, even if it's legal, is coming close to extinction at this point. It's very close.
And this also serves as an intimidation element because if the word comes out that if you say something in the public space that is unapproved, then you're going to be quiet. Yep. And all of a sudden, you're not the voices that may inspire others to stand up and say, hey, we're not alone. All of a sudden, those are quashed.
Oh, I talk to people right now. I talk to people who work in executive level positions in other publicly traded companies and private companies, some very large companies. And I've recently talked to some of these people. And I've observed this when I worked in corporate America. I've talked to some of the people who are still in corporate America that I know, and they are very afraid to openly speak their minds.
Yeah. Mission accomplished.
Yeah. They're living in a DEI environment. I had one lady who is very much a very moderate person. She's not politically active. She has expressed to me that, you know, we're hamstrung at my company from doing and saying most things these days because everyone's afraid of DEI.
Yeah.
And this is not a liberal company, I might add. This would be considered a very conservative company.
Yeah. People need to realize where we are. And we need to realize, I always say this, it's like, if this is as intense as the battle gets, I would think this is a good thing because what we're trying to prevent the violence that some may be aching for, and maybe even the deep state is trying to inspire. But think about it: if the worst consequences are that, you know, maybe you're shunned off of Facebook or you're banned from YouTube or even possibly debanned, I think we're in a good position for everyone to say we must speak up now because it will get worse if we do not.
Time is of the essence. The American middle class, the American citizen still exercises a tremendous amount of power. The Constitution still exists and can be supported. There are still people who can be sent to Congress who can make a difference, even if the current Congress behaves in less than ideal ways as of late. We still have those structures in place. We still have many good people in place. And all it will take for evil to prevail is for good people to do nothing.
Right.
All the good people here can do something.
They should.
And we don't have to let the darkness fall on this country.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dennis. Next up, Alex Newman interviews General Flynn.
How tired are you of mainstream corporate media's biased narratives and manipulated news? Their dishonesty and attempts to influence this generation have been exposed, put on display for anyone who's even half paying attention. But the New American Magazine has been an honest source of news and commentary for over 50 years. This is your opportunity to receive the stalwart of principled journalism at a deep discount. Picture a beautifully published magazine arriving at your doorstep twice a month, packed with insightful stories written with integrity. It's also available digitally on the New American's mobile app. Get up to speed with intelligent coverage from a freedom perspective. Right now, for a limited time, The New American is available to radio listeners at a 25% discount on a new subscription. Visit thenewamerican.com/radio25 and receive 25% off. Subscribe today at thenewamerican.com/radio25.
Welcome, everybody. Alex Newman here. We're still at the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association event. It's incredible. Amazing lawmen here, amazing military leaders, including the great General Flynn, who's been a guest with us before. He's got a new movie out. It is just incredible from what people are telling me. Brand new. General, this tells the story of the persecution that you went through, yeah. What happened to your family. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, what it does, what this movie, and then people can go to Flynnmovie.com, Flynnmovie.com. The name of the film is Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. But Tucker Carlson is featured in a prominent way. Devin Nunez is featured in a prominent way. Lee Smith, best-selling author of the plot against the president. A couple of people that are really critical national security professionals. And a couple of other investigative journalists who I did not know who had done investigations of my whole plight, right? As well as many members of my family, and people will be introduced to my wife for the first time. It's a very emotional, very intimate story. It's a story of deep-seated corruption in our government. I actually go back, I take the audience back to the 60s and kind of talk about where things began. You know, where did the country start to go off the rails a little bit? And then I fast forward everybody to the here and now, and I talk about the persecution that I went through. But I do it in a we sort of weave the story. It's not just about what Mike Flynn faced, but what Mike Flynn and his entire family, and it's not just my wife and my kids, but our entire family. But it's also about what the country faced and how they attack the entirety of the country.
Yep.
And there are people on both sides of the aisle that I bring out, that I raise. I really do talk about the intelligence community, the Department of Defense, the Department of Justice, the FBI, and elements inside the White House around Donald Trump, President Donald J. Trump. President Trump is featured. He wasn't one of the interviewees, but we do feature him with some very, very strong messaging to bring the points across that we're trying to raise for the audience. The universally, the feedback has been just really, really awesome. I'm one of these people where if I write a paper, I'm like never sure how people are going to see it. Well, now it's a film and it's out there, and it's a very intimate portrayal of sort of how my family got through this. And like we say at the end, the inspiration at the end is about how we as a nation can rise above this madness, this off the rails track that we are on right now, because we are clearly off the rails economically, morally, socially, and it's just a fact of life. So we can overcome this. That's a big part of the movie. We're number one on Amazon, all DVDs being sold. In fact, I was notified this morning that they're out of stock.
Oh, wow.
So they're
doing better than all the big Hollywood
All the big Hollywood movies. Wow. Willy Wonka, too. You know, I love chocolate, but we probably, we got enough of an obesity problem in this country.
Right.
But, we're beating the likes of Oppenheimer, Aquaman,
Barbie.
And lo and behold, Barbie, right? So that means that there is a hunger for the truth.
Yep.
And I think people, they want to hear this story. I will tell you, we are also still being, we're still being censored. I'm still one of the most censored people on the planet. And we are still being censored a bit, even with this movie. We've seen some shenanigans. We have a part of it's already been pirated. In fact, not part of it. The movie was pirated.
Oh, wow.
Somebody sat there. On there, so they watched it, they ordered it, they watched it on their TV, and they filmed it, and then they dropped it online. And so we're going after them, and we've already had that taken down, because we're going to be on many, many platforms. Amazon's one, iTunes is another, Target, Walmart, all online.
Patriot TV
that I'm involved in. People can go to patriot.tv. We're constantly advertising it. So it's a very, very powerful message. And it's a message of the deep-seated corruption in our government, how bad it is, and it's really bad, folks.
Yep.
How we can overcome it, what they can do to somebody, and everybody that's paying attention, particularly this conference that we're at, the sheriff's Constitutional Sheriff's Conference, all of us in this country feel this, because they're going after, like a third-world nation. They're going after the leading opposition candidate you know, in all the polls, that's Donald J. Trump. They're trying to put this man into jail. There's clear election interference. They continue to come after me. You know, even though I went through that, and most people think of me as like, well, he pled guilty and he had to get pardoned. Well, we tell that story. Believe me, you'll be blown away. And we've had in our 35-city nationwide tour, we're here in Las Vegas. This will be the ninth city that we will touch. We've had close to 6,000 people that have attended in those few those couple of cities. We have another whatever it is, 25 or 26 more cities to go. We're heading out to California, up to Washington, and then east. We're going to places where people don't normally see guys like me, or we're going to some cities. We're here in Las Vegas, obviously, but we're also going to some places where people don't go. Like, we went to Wichita, and they were like giving me a big hug because they're like, oh my God, nobody ever comes to Wichita. So, and I purposely decided to do that because I wanted to go to meet with people and show people not only the movie, but tell them that they're not alone. Every single one of us feels this weaponization of our government, feels the weaponization of our law enforcement and our intelligence community, you know, the weaponization of the rule of law in this country, and then the madness, the sheer madness of what we're facing overseas.
Yeah.
And so all of that, is told in this story and weaved through this story, because you don't become the director of one of the largest intelligence agencies in the world, or the national security advisor, because somebody sprinkled fairy dust on you and poof, you're that, right? You work your rear end off, you get to those levels, you're savvy enough. But then what I face, and I do mention this in the movie, the greatest enemy that I faced was right here at home. Okay, I faced every enemy that we had in the last 40 years overseas, fought many of them, faced many of them, was involved in killing or capturing many of them. And then all of a sudden I retire from the military, and the next thing I know, I come home and I'm like, wait a second, I just retired a year ago. And and now you people have me under, this is what we found, that now they have me under investigation, okay? So something's wrong with that picture. Something's wrong with that picture. And I'll get off my box here, but I was joking on the way in here with somebody that I met, that I know, about the FBI. Before I retired from the military, I was given the Director's Medal, right? I mean, by Jim Comey, where he pins it on my uniform, right? I mean, this is one of the highest medals that you can be given from the FBI, and I'm giving it because of a lifetime of service and my relationship with the FBI, particularly while we were fighting terrorists overseas. I had like 20 FBI agents that worked for me over in Iraq and Afghanistan. I had great relationships with the FBI. So, and I talk a little bit about this in the movie, sort of what changed, right? What kinds of things changed and who really changed? Was it Mike Flynn or was it these other people? And why did they change? And I address that specifically in the movie. So universally, we've had just, I'm really blessed, and I feel very, very humbled by the feedback that we've been given by the American people so far. To make us number one on Amazon, all DVDs, is pretty stunning accomplishment.
It's huge, and there's a massive hunger for this. So ladies and gentlemen, go get a copy of the movie, get multiple copies of the movie. Everybody in our country needs to see this. Our country is in great danger. People like General Flynn have been standing on the front lines trying to defend us, and so now it's time for us to do our part as well. Thanks so much for watching. Thank you, General Flynn, for
absolutely,
all that you do.
Alex,
we really
you.
Appreciate it, and stay tuned. We'll be back with more.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to another episode of The New American Daily. Remember to visit thenewamerican.com for more truth behind the news, and join us again tomorrow.